We've started this series called Jesus Speaks a Better Word Over Us. And did you know that Jesus speaks a better word over your life? And we're going to be addressing over the coming few weeks a few areas, different areas, that can really hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and can really grab a hold of your life in such a way that you become sort of dejected and there's no scope for the Spirit of God to move through you. And we're going to be looking at some areas like knowing that you are a beloved son and daughter, fear, judgmentalism, control, unbelief, and disappointment. And if none of those things have ever affected you, you're probably dead, okay? Because we've all been impacted by some of those things at a certain point. And this morning, one thing that I want to address this morning is this whole issue of fear. That this morning, God wants to break some chains of fear in your life. Has fear ever held you back? Has your concern about what people will think about you ever held you back? Have you ever really felt God say, oh, it'd be good to pray for that person, but then fear gets hold of your heart and it holds you back? Have you ever felt that you should be taking steps, maybe, you know, in your job or maybe in relationships or maybe what you're doing, and actually there's this fear that somehow grabs you and holds you back? Well, if you have, join the club. Because every single one of us, at certain points, have been gripped by fear. We've been held captive to it. But you need to know this morning that Jesus speaks a better word over your life. That fear is not part of God's plan for your life. That is not part of what God has for you. Psalm 34, verse 4, says this: "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all of my fears." Now, you need to know that there is a good fear, and there is a bad fear. A good fear is the fear of the Lord. It's about looking at somebody who is in authority over us, and looking at somebody who has incredible power, and awesome power. And there is a good sense of fear, but this morning we are talking about a fear that grips us and controls us and dominates us and stops us moving into all the things that God would have for us. And, you know, even some of these stories that we've heard this morning. So even, I just need to let you know about Christina. I'm really sorry about this, Christina, but I'm going to do it. I need to get the email and read it out to early, but Christina had her, she is the manager of the CAP Centre, the Christians Against Poverty Centre. And she had her annual review. Was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And the guy from central office came and said that this is the best running CAP Centre. Was it in the whole of London?
Yeah.
In the whole of London. Ooh. And that, yeah. I mean, there are only two, but you know, no, there's not. How many are there?
Sorry?
How many CAP centres are there in London?
A lot.
Okay, there's lots. I don't know how many. I don't know, 20 or 30. I don't know. There's lots of them. And then it said that some of the statistics that Christina has been able to sort of like to accomplish over the last few months are way, way above any averages that they've had for the centres across the country. And it's an extraordinary sort of testimony of faith of Christina and all of the CAP team that are working with her. And there is a big team of people seeking to bring people out of debt. But do you know what? That would not have happened if people had been racked with fear. And if people are thinking, no, I don't want to take a step out. And you know, Jules would not have prayed with somebody who'd got a lady who'd got a wonky toilet if he was full of fear. And Kenny would not have come out and said, okay, yeah, come and pray for my shoulder. If she was racked with fear. Now, you need to know that fear will sometimes get a hold of us, but it is not the plan for your God's plan for your life. Just turn with me, can you, to Psalm 118. And I'm going to read this, the first 10 verses of this most extraordinary and delightful psalm. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say this, his steadfast love endures forever.
out of my distress, I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me. And what did he do? He set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations have surrounded me, and in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. There's this phenomenal verse. I hope it's up there. Yeah. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me. And what did he do? He set me free. The Lord is on my side. What will I not do? I will not fear. What can man do to me? I wonder if you ever come to this point when you wonder, what does it actually mean to be a Christian? So I guess if you're here, that there'll be many of us here who are Christians. There may be some here who aren't Christian. You're not a Christian yet. You've never decided to put your trust in Jesus. You've never understood what it means that Jesus died on the cross for your sins so that you may not be punished. It's an extraordinary thing, the gospel, that actually we're standing here this morning, we're worshipping because Jesus has cancelled all our sins. But I wonder if you ever realise that is being a Christian, like, it's about coming to church, it's about reading your Bible during the week, if you're lucky, it's about having a good old sing-song. Do you know, it's quite weird to have a whole load of people gathering together having a sing-song in a cinema. It is a bit odd, isn't it? So later on, I'll be going to a sports match. Saracens are playing Exeter. There'll be lots of people singing there, but not many people gather in a cinema to have a sing-song. It's odd. So what does it mean to be a Christian? Is it about coming to church, about singing together, about reading the Bible? Is it about knowing you're going to heaven when you die? Is that what it is to be a Christian? No. It is so much more than that. It is, as Dave talked about earlier, he talked about God changing us and shaping us and making us different people. God's goal is that we now have people that live in victory, that we are healed, that we don't live sort of bound up by fear. And the point is that God wants to come and renew and restore and do a mighty work on the inside of us. Guess what? So that he can use us to come and help change other people. Because we're supposed to be these kingdom influencers around the world. And I love it when we hear stories about people at work bringing influence. And you know, there was a while ago when we resolved that we will not be a church that will chase numbers, chase growing numerically. That is not our goal. But our goal is this, to be a church that grows in influence, that actually more and more of us are more bolder at work. That's what we really want to be. And so we had a worship leaders meeting on Thursday, which was great. And there were people there from all walks of life. I think we had people who worked in hospitals, in schools, in law firms, in offices, in every area, in their homes. And you think, what would it be like if as a church we just became committed to growing in boldness wherever God put us? But so often, fear holds us back. Do you know what? Unless we are prepared for God to break some chains in us this morning, it'll be limited what we can do in other people. I just want you to imagine this conversation. Two people sitting there at a table, and one says to the other guy, "Look, I tell you what, I've got a surefire way to break out of prison. Guaranteed. Cast iron, 20 minutes out." Great conversation if it's sitting in a cafe. Not such a good conversation if you're sitting in the prison. If you know a surefire way to get out of prison, why haven't you done it? Yeah. You're still captive. You're still in there. And you know, when God really wants to use you, and he really wants to use me to speak freedom and grace and truth into other people's lives, into our workplace, into our neighbours. But actually, he has to come and do a mighty work in our lives first. Do you know, God wants to break freedom in your life, not so that you'll never have to face fear again, because we will all have to face fear time and time again. But God wants to break the control that fear has in your life. He doesn't want you to submit to fear again. But he wants you to overcome it. The first disciples knew something about fear. They knew quite a lot about fear. They'd seen people killed. They'd seen people sort of like being tortured. They'd seen them being persecuted. He knew a lot about fear. And this is what he says in Acts 4, verse 29. And this is the disciples. After they'd been persecuted, they'd been harassed and maligned and sort of like spoken against. It says this in Acts 4. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they'd prayed, the place at which they'd gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with great boldness. The issue there is this, that when you can mix together boldness in us and the power of the Holy Spirit, that's when the kingdom comes. But when we are timid and when we're held captive by fear, actually, that we're not going to see the kingdom break out as we really long to see it. I want to list some of the fears that may possibly grip your life. Fear of being rejected or not wanted. The fear of being inadequate. The fear of not doing enough. The fear of being persecuted. The fear of worship and intimacy. Do you know, it's a little bit odd to say that you're fearful of worship and intimacy. But I feel, when I was praying, I felt, no, there's some people who are fearful of worship because you don't know where it will take you. And it will take you to a scary place. And actually, you'd rather just opt out of worship really than engage with worship. Well, God wants to break that fear in your life. I thought for some people, there is a fear of death. You cannot bear the thought of dying yourself. And actually, I felt those when I was praying about it again this morning. I think there are some people that you may be fearful of your child dying. And you know, like any parents will know that they always carry this thing about, you know, you think, God, please just don't let anything happen to my children. But I feel that, you know, there could be somebody who's got this fear of your child dying. And it's not an appropriate, you know, to, oh, well, I'll make sure I hold their hand when they cross the road. But it's something that grips you and dominates you. And actually, it's a stronghold that is stopping God working through your life. I think that sometimes you may be a fear of failure and a fear of making mistakes. And the biggest mistake that you can make is never to make any mistakes. Because we want to be a place, I'm looking forward for the day when we can have testimonies, when people come up here and say, I had a word for somebody, and I went up to them in the supermarket queue, and I said, excuse me, I've got a word for you, can I pray for you? And they say, no. No, we're not going to, should we celebrate that? I want to celebrate that because the person responded. Did they get it right? No, they didn't. But actually, they responded. They weren't full of fear. They thought, oh, well, I'll give it a go. It doesn't really matter. How many here have fear of not having enough money to pay the bills at the end? Thanks, Dave, for that word earlier. that describes me. I've just been given faithfully for, I don't know, donkey's years. And sometimes it seems like it just comes out, you know, week by week or month by month. And you think, oh, how much am I engaging in faith with that? Or actually, am I fearful? And I think, oh, I've got all these things, all these costs that I know are going to come up soon. How fearful am I not having enough to pay the bills? How many are fearful of being ridiculed? Of being made to look stupid? These are not God's plans for your life. And this morning, I believe that God is going to break some chains of fear. And later on, I'm going to give you the opportunity to very practically demonstrate fears that are broken in your life. So what we're going to do this morning is, should we get that nasty picture off? Yes, let's go on to something a bit nicer. A 5-point plan. Da-da. Da-da, it's a 5-year plan. No, it's a 5-point plan to break fear in your lives. First thing is this. If you want to break the control of fear in your life, decide right now that you are going to confront it and you're going to face up to fear, look fear in the eye and say, I'm not having you here anymore. That's the first thing you have to do. Psalm 118 says this, out of my distress I called to the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. And if you are gripped with fear this morning, and if you're gripped with things and it controls you, you have to at some point stand up and look it in the eye. No, I am not going to be a fearful man or woman any longer. When we were praying last week, Bode, is Bode here? Oh, hi. So Bode said, we were talking about fear, and he said, oh, Joyce Meyer has this story about do it afraid. You know, so actually, we will always be afraid about things, but just do it afraid. And so then I went and looked at Joyce Meyer, and I haven't read a lot of stuff that Joyce Meyer has said or written, but I then downloaded a book, and she's written this fantastic book all about fear. And that phrase comes from do it afraid is from a story about Elizabeth Elliot. Now, some of you may know Elizabeth Elliot, some of you won't know, but Elizabeth Elliot is a real hero. I know Jill, my wife, talks about her all the time, but her husband, Jim, was murdered by some people who lived in the Ecuadorian forest. Now, Jim Elliot and three other guys went into the forest in Ecuador. And I don't know, if anybody can tell me the date, but I think it was the 1960s, was it? A while ago, 50s, 60s. Jim Elliot and three others, they flew into this jungle. They made some contact with the people that had never been contacted with before. They started to share the gospel with them. And what happened was, all four of them slaughtered. And then I remember the story of an airplane would fly over and they would see this place where these four missionaries were slaughtered. Elizabeth Elliot was a woman of faith. But guess what? Fear got hold of her life, as you can imagine. And she felt God was saying to her, you have to go back to these people that killed your husband and share the gospel with them. And what did she say? I don't think so. I don't think so. And yet somebody said to her, Elizabeth, why don't you do it afraid? Do it afraid. You're never going to beat the fit. You're never sort of like going to simply just overcome it, but you've got to confront it and go and speak to those people and do it afraid. And she went back into the Ecuadorian jungle. And since then, there has been a breakthrough amongst those people knowing Jesus because she went back. She looked fear in the eye and she said, I'm not going to be fearful. I'm going to do something afraid. And there will be times when you will have to take steps of faith whilst you are afraid. Just this last week, Jill, my wife, has the team that she works in the school has been having quite a torrid time and all sorts of reasons. And there was one, her immediate boss was having a really hard time and Jill just said, can I pray for you? It's quite scary. And she said, yeah, please do. And Jill prayed for her. And then, you know, the text that came the next day was extraordinary. Jill, thank you so much for taking the time to pray for me. But fear, I think, and if you know Jill, she is not she won't go and talk to anybody out on the street. She's not the most bold and courageous. But I think she did it afraid. Because God's kingdom wants to break out in us. We will not be people of fear. Was that somebody clapping then?
Yeah.
Good. We must be people who will look fear in the eye. Number two, know that love conquers fear. Okay, this is one of my favourite verses. But I think it's quite funny. But it appeals to my sense of humour. It doesn't appeal to yours. Sorry. Isaiah 41. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of basically it's just talking about you, Israel, you are my friend. You, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from the farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and I have not cut you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Verse 14, "Fear not, you worm, Jacob." I love it. "You men of Israel, I'm the one who helps you, declares the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you a threshing sledge, new, sharp, and having teeth. And you shall thresh the mountains and crush them, and you shall make the hills like chaff." I just need to let you know that I love it when he says, "You worm, you worm." And then it's like, I think he just knew that like he was saying, no, sometimes we feel really, really inadequate. But the whole context of this is this: I have chosen you and I have not cast your. And you know, when we know that we are loved, that's why at the moment we're spending so much time trying to understand how much God loves us, that we are his children, that he delights in us, that he loves to pour his love out on us. And last week when Dave was talking about that we are unpunishable, what it means is that it doesn't matter, all your sins from yesterday, today and tomorrow, they are accounted for. If you come in and say, "Actually, no, I've been so sinful, I can't come close to God," you're denying what Jesus did on the cross. You are loved by your wonderful Heavenly Father. And did you know that when you know that you are loved, fear goes? John 1 John 4 says this: "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." When we know that we are loved, fear subsides. You know, when children know that they are loved, they will go and do all sorts of different things. All sorts of different things. So, like, really, can I just give a really quick example, okay, of Gideon this morning? So Gideon, Jules came in with his kids, a little bit late, mind you. I didn't want to point that out publicly, but anyway. Mind you, now we're there, we might as well just say, okay. Anyway, so he came in a little bit late, and then Gideon walked down here, and he said, "Oh, there's no biscuits and juice. What?" Okay, now the thing is that actually I feel there is a certain freedom that when kids know that they're loved, they're not fearful and cowering away saying, "Oh, you know." No, they're loved. And I feel that there is a freedom that when we know that we are loved by our Heavenly Father. Did you know God looks on you and he smiles? Did you know that God looks on you and he says, "I like that person"? And sometimes when we talk about love, we talk about it so much. But, oh no, does God like me? Yeah, he does. He likes you a lot, actually. For God liked you so much, he gave his one and only son to die on the cross for you. He is for you. He wants to bless you. Know that perfect love casts out fear. Third step, be part of a courageous community. We all know that when Jesus sent the disciples out, he didn't send them out on his own, but he sent them out in pairs. He sent them out in twos. And I want to encourage you to be courageous together. I want you to encourage you to find other people that are courageous and sit with them and be with them and learn to be courageous together. And if you feel, actually, I can't do that and I can't go out on the streets, I can never pray for somebody, just go and find somebody who has prayed for somebody at work and find people around you who are courageous. And when you start encouraging other people to be courageous, that's called leadership, and you are leading people very, very well. And thank you for doing that. I just need to let you know, years and years ago, a long time ago when I was doing youth work, it was probably about 70 years ago when I was doing youth work in my previous church, and we had this thing called, mentioned it before, called Bravery in Bermondsey, okay, and it was mad. And I want to say it again because it was a significant moment for me, and Kaz, you were there as well, weren't you? What we did is we took a whole load of, there were three youth clubs from three churches, and basically, we took them into central London and we started preaching on tube stations and on tube platforms and anywhere we could. And we started worshipping on the street. And I think we wound a lot of people up. But do you know what? Something broke in me. It was a lot easier to speak to my neighbour. It was a lot easier. I'm not sure what the kingdom value of it was. But I think that there are some people, but I know that the fear that it defeated in my life and many other people's lives that day was significant, and the consequences are still playing out today. today because of that thing. Okay, we're just going to do 3 days of being mad. And sort of like, and we knew that when a train came in, everyone on the on a tube station, everyone would go. We knew that we then had 3 minutes when they couldn't really get away. 3 minutes until the tube came again. Then they'd all go, oh, thank goodness that lot's, you know, we can go get on the train. People getting on the wrong trains, everything, I don't know. But I don't know. But actually, all I know is that it broke something in me. And so, like, just, you know, like the other day, I think it was, you know, they prayed for this guy who was walking outside the centre in Colindale. He had really bad gout. He was a Chinese guy. And the significant thing, I may have mentioned it, but I prayed for him and said, oh, can I? He was just walking along, but he was so obviously like, you know, like he was walking at a snap, but a really young guy, and he was walking like this. And another friend of mine who had got gout, I remember seeing him walk in a very similar way. And I said, and I walked past him, and I thought, no, I'm just going to go back. So, excuse me, I don't mean to be odd, but can I just pray for you? Because obviously there's something wrong with you. And he said, yeah, no, that's fine. The significant thing was this. He said, oh, my friend at work has prayed for me as well. He works for Bank of America in Canary Wharf. Phenomenal. So I think something is changing. So it was great. I don't mind praying for him. But the most significant thing was he said, oh, my friend is doing the same thing. Do you know, there is a movement of people defeating fear, looking fear right in the eyes and saying, I'm not having it anymore. I'm not going to be controlled by fear. Fear of not having enough. Luke chapter 12 says this, and do not seek what you're to eat or you're to drink. Don't be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and the things and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And you know, so we're worried about what how we're going to pay the bills, and God is saying, don't worry about it. I'm going to give you the whole kingdom. Everything. And it's, you know, a few weeks ago we talked about the prodigal son. I don't want to mix up too many different Bible passages, but you think it's a little bit like somebody, a son owning the whole farm and then saying, oh, but God, please, can I just have this little thing to go and can I have a calf? Look, all the herds are yours. Somehow I feel God wants to say to us, he's going to give us everything that we need. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that do not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Last thing about on this one here, about being part of a courageous community. How many people fear being persecuted or rejected? How many people fear saying something to somebody and then they're just laughing at you? You know, or trying to explain the gospel and then forgetting a really important verse. Or you're explaining the gospel and then you forget to mention Jesus. Or something like that. And they think, oh, what an idiot. I'm never going to do that again. Ugh. Well, do you know what? The thing is, we mustn't fear people. What can they do to you? What can they do to you? Matthew 10 says this. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you who have more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men will also deny my Father who is in heaven. I think there's something about being in a community together. The next thing, my fourth point is this. Be courageous in a safe place. Encourage one another. When we finish this in a minute, we're going to sing that old hymn. Where's Bryn? Are we good? Okay. Does anyone know the hymn, And Can It Be? Does anyone know the chorus on that? I'm not going to sing it, actually. No, that my chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went up, and followed thee. We're going to sing that in a minute because chains are going to break off in this place. Chains of fear are going to break off. And do you know what? What I want to do is I want to give people an opportunity to be courageous in here. Because do you know what? In here, in this place in here, it's quite a safe place. Nobody, I promise you, nobody's going to laugh at you or ridicule you, or if you say something wrong, that's not going to happen. But I want to do something that marks the fact that we're staring fear in the face and saying we're not having it. And we're going to sing this song, and at a certain point, we're going to stop. And if you have never come to the front and prayed, I want you to come up to the front. I want you to come up to the front. And I want you to come up to the front and say, thank you, God, that you are defeating my fear. That's all you need to say. And if you want to say, thank you, God, that you are defeating my fear of this, then that's fine. That's okay. You can do that. But I want you to come up and I want you to stand here and say, thank you, God. You can close your eyes so you might not see everyone looking at you. But thank you, God, that you are defeating my fear. And then we're going to come home to this song again and think, my chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth and followed thee. We're going to break some chains even now. And you know, even that's scary for me. It's scary for me to say that, because what if nobody comes up? Oh, well, let's just sing the chorus then, shall we? It ain't going to happen, because God is going to defeat chains. He's going to defeat fears in our lives. My last point is this. We need to be people who are courageous for the kingdom. I love this verse from 2 Timothy. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And you know, as we begin to defeat fear in our life, the kingdom is going to come. Because once fear is dealt with, then courage starts looking for a fight. We start to take the fight. We start to be bringers of the kingdom to people that would never, never have heard the kingdom truth about who Jesus is. When we defeat sin, when we defeat fear in our lives. Then we're just going to pray. And we're going to pray that God's Spirit would come and blow through us. So there we go. A 5-point plan for defeating fear. Decide that you're done with fear. Know that perfect love casts out fear. Be part of a courageous community. Start being courageous today. And lastly, be courageous for the kingdom. Start talking about Jesus. Could you stand?